Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly podcast from First United Methodist Church of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'm Drew Shelley, one of the pastors here. It is our hope and prayer that the message you hear today will help you connect deeply with the love of God we know in Jesus. Also, we'd love to connect with you so that we can share life and faith together. If you'd like more information about this church family, or if you want us to contact you, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at FUMC Borough. If you're looking for a place to belong, we have that place for you in one of our classes or small groups, as a part of one of our mission teams, or in either our modern or traditional worship services, which both meet at 10:15 on Sunday mornings. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Jesus in your life. Let's pray together. Oh God, we gather to hear your voice, to hear your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is moving. We feel your power, that we can know your voice. Speak to us now, in the name of your Son, Jesus. May the people of God say, Amen. In just a moment, we're going to hear two passages from Matthew's Gospel. And the reason for that is because those two passages help us think about what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ, what it means to follow Jesus in this 21st century. One of those passages is from Matthew 28. It's called the Great Commission. You've probably heard that before. The other is Matthew 25. It's called the Judgment of the Nations. And you may not recognize it by its name, but you'll recognize the words when we hear them. I'd like for you to listen carefully to both of them to see which one resonates most with you, because in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to choose one, to choose one of the two passages that really resonates with who you are and with how you think and feel. So let's hear together Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40. When the Son of Man, when Jesus comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me. And then we hear from Matthew 28. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, the first day, I'm sorry, let's skip to verse 16. You don't want me to read the whole chapter, do you? Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. They worshipped Jesus, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, one of those, Matthew 25 or Matthew 28, probably resonated more deeply with you than another. And so I'd like to ask you, are you ready to be a little bit uncomfortable? Can you be uncomfortable this morning, just a little bit? Okay, Matthew 25, people, would you please come get up out of your pew chair and come and stand right over here where Miss Kitty Gannon is. She's got her walk. She's a Matthew 25. So I'll just come on over here and stand on this side, Matthew 25, and Matthew 28, people, would you come and stand right over here on this side? Let's move and see what happens here. Let's just see what happens. Don't be ashamed. Nothing bad here. Matthew 25 over here. Matthew 25 over here. Matthew 28 over here. All right, good. We're figuring it out. Okay, great. Okay, this is great. Now, okay, so we're going to decide over here we have the goats and over here. No, I'm just kidding. The goats over here and the sheep. No. Do you see how we've divided? Isn't that interesting? This same dynamic happens in our churches all the time. Most churches have one of those two passages that is a favorite or that resonate. Nothing wrong. There's nothing bad about what you see here. We just need to think about what this means, because the gospel of Jesus Christ holds these two passages in tension with each other. They are held together as two sides of the same coin, very much like love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. They are equally as important. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Good job. Who wants to come with me to the sanctuary and watch when I do it in there? That's going to be fun. Now, as we think about what we just witnessed and kind of played out physically by moving around a little bit, we have to think about what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ, to be followers of Jesus in the 21st century, and to hold in tension these two texts which teach us so much about who we are as the church. We have to think about how can we be a Matthew 25 and a Matthew 28 church in this 21st century. My friend Jathaniel Cavett, who is a pastor in the Memphis Conference at Colonial Park United Methodist Church, he's been trying for several years to understand an interesting phenomenon in our church statistics. You are probably not surprised to find that we Methodists keep statistics on everything. Everything. Average worship attendance, giving per member, average weight of the pastor, average age of the... You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Average age of the lay leader, you name it, we track it. We track all of it so we can look at it and think about what it means. We also track money spent on ministry in our community, ministry with and in our community, and the number of church people who are engaged in those ministries in the community. You follow what I'm saying? We track all those things. Jathaniel discovered that in the last 10 years, our Methodist churches in the Nashville area have experienced this huge growth in ministry with our communities. We are more engaged in ministry with our communities than at any time in recent history. It's really incredible to see those numbers and to really pay attention to those statistics. He compared this explosive growth in ministry with our communities with the number of new disciples, new Christians, new followers of Jesus during the same time period. During the same time period, those same churches have experienced significant decline in worship attendance and in the making of new disciples. In fact, very few of our churches can say that they have nurtured any new disciples of Jesus in the last decade. Our Matthew 25:28 balance seems to be out of whack, and we wonder what this means, that we can be so engaged in our community, and yet we're not seeing new followers of Jesus, at least in the way that we are counting them. Something for us to think about. Have people grown in their faith? Yes, absolutely. Are people making a difference in the world? Yes, now more than ever. It's overwhelming to think about all the difference that is being made. Are good things happening? Yes, absolutely. Matthew 25, we are leaning into Matthew 25. What about Matthew 28, the Great Commission? Well, let's think about that. Are we teaching people? Are we teaching people everything that Jesus commanded? We're trying, but it's a lot. It's a whole lot. And frankly, we don't often go as far as Jesus went with what he taught. Frankly, we don't sometimes agree on the things that Jesus taught, and they scare us. Sometimes we are teaching. Sometimes we are not. Are we baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Every chance we get. Ryan Carr experienced it last Sunday. We are baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are we discipling? Are we making disciples? Are we growing disciples of Jesus? That one is tough. We know how to make hungry people full. We know how to make the unlovable feel loved. But how to make from scratch a disciple of Jesus? Isn't that God's business? Isn't that something God does? And yet Jesus says to us, go, disciple all the people, make disciples of all nations. No wonder Matthew 28 says, the disciples worshiped him, but some doubted. Some hesitated, it says in the Greek. We know that doubt, don't we? We know that trepidation, that self-awareness that says, we don't have any business trying to make disciples. We're still just trying to be disciples, aren't we? How dare we think that we can make disciples? We worship and we hesitate, wondering why God ever thought it a good idea to give us this monumental task. And yet Jesus still says to us, go make disciples. Go make disciples. We wonder then, what is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus, one who is coming to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, raised from the dead, a person who knows what it is to walk through life with Jesus as Lord and Savior, loving the unlovable, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, resisting evil, sharing the suffering of others, and bringing the peace and joy of God into all the dark places in the world. Even simpler, a disciple of Jesus is one who is finding in the gospel forgiveness, peace, hope, and true life with Jesus. Even simpler still, a disciple of Jesus is one who knows the truth of what Jesus said in John 15, I have called you friends. Do you remember that? I have called you friends. A disciple is one who knows Jesus as friend, as friend. We can understand friend. We get that, don't we? So how do we make disciples? Maybe we could ask instead, how do we make friends of our friends? Have you ever had two friends that you just felt like they needed to get together, they needed to know each other somehow? Have you ever tried to make those connections? How do we do that? Do we start out by beating them over the head and making them feel guilty that they don't already know our other friend? Is that how we do that? No. Do we try to shame them into meeting with our other friend? We don't do that. No, what do we do? What do we do? We just make a little connection, don't we? We make a little connection. I think you'd like to meet my friend Don someday. I really think you'd enjoy him. Don is a great fella. He's not nearly as old as he looks. I mean, he's not nearly as young as he looks. Don, he's a great fella, and I think you'd love to meet Don. He's married to Rita. He's a retired, semi-retired judge. He likes to drive fast. He's a great fella. He loves to eat at Cracker Barrel. I think you ought to get together and meet him, and y'all would have a good time together. I think it would be great. That's how we do. We make a little connection, don't we? We just begin to connect the dots. We've laid the groundwork. Our two friends still haven't met yet, but they're beginning to get a feel for each other, aren't they? That's how we do that. It's not that hard. It's certainly not rocket science. The same thing happens when we feed the hungry, love the unlovable, when we tend to the brokenhearted and care for the sick, all in the name of Jesus, the one whom we follow. We make new friends. You see, our Matthew 25 work is infused with the relationship of Matthew 28. And that Matthew 28 call is heard through the relationships built by Matthew 25 work. They go together like a hand and a glove in a way that heals us just as much as it offers healing to others. But the real magic happens, I think, when we get our two friends together, doesn't it? Just with an introduction, just imagine your two friends in the same room now. We can say, Jesus, I'd like you to meet my friend Don. Don is a great fellow. He's married to Rita. He loves to eat at Cracker Barrel and drive fast. He's a good man. You'll enjoy. I just think you'd like to meet him, Jesus. And then we say, Don, this is my friend Jesus. I'd love for you to meet him. Jesus is somebody that I've known all of my life. I can't imagine life without him. He's walked with me through some hard times. He's brought peace that passes all understanding and joy to my heart. He's given me a depth of forgiveness that has changed my life. He's taught me how to love people. He's taught me what really matters. He's opened my heart to a new way of life that is hopeful and full of courage. I guess you could say Jesus has loved me back to life, and I just think you two ought to know each other. That's how we can introduce people to our friends so they can become friends together. Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How does it start? How does it start? Just with an introduction. Have you met my friend Jesus? I think you'd really love him. He already loves you. Jesus appeared to his disciples. They worshiped him. Some doubted, but he trusted them and us with this sacred mission, loving the world back to life, one heart at a time. Matthew 25 and Matthew 28 teach us that the church is not an institution to be preserved by our most valiant efforts. That's not what the church is. The church is not part of some evangelistic army designed to brainwash the masses into believing the same thing about everything. That's not what the church is. The church is not a social services agency doing good in the world so that its members can feel good about themselves. The church is not an institution with some fancy mission statement. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's mission in the world. We exist to introduce people to the God of love who is revealed in and through Jesus Christ. We exist as God's love turned loose on the world, doing good, fighting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, shining light in all the dark places, suffering with those who suffer, and introducing people to Jesus, who brings new life and forgiveness in the midst of death and all kinds of brokenness. When we churches get it wrong, we flounder. We flounder. But if we so much as set our hearts in the right general direction, oh my goodness, we flourish. And the love of God abounds in everything we do. Are you ready to flourish, church? Are you ready to flourish? We get to decide that together, but we have to decide. Let's pray. Oh God, give us courage to choose love, to follow you, to be your people. Help us to realize what it means to be your love turned loose on the world every single day. Open our hearts to those around us. Help us to lay aside all those things, all those elements of baggage that just hinder us from living your mission as part of our daily life. Fill us up now with hope. We are broken and wounded and in need of your grace, each one of us, but so is your world. So, Lord, we pray you would make us whole, make us able, that we can share your gift of grace and love every day. In Jesus' name, amen.